In a world full of distractions, there is one big question on every dog owner's lips.
How do I become more than just the person holding the other end of the leash?
We all get dogs with a dream in mind, a vision of the future. And if right now your everyday reality isn't quite that picture you had in mind, you are in the right place.
It really doesn't have to be this way.
You absolutely can and will be more to your dog than just the person who gets in between them and the world.
The key is you need to be more sexy.
More sexy than the neighbourhood cats.
More sexy than the jogger in the park.
More sexy than that half-eaten hamburger they just found on the floor.
And yes, even more sexy than the dog across the road.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Lauren.
Together we're Absolute Dogs.
And you're listening to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast. Hello and welcome to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast, the podcast that gives you real life results. Now, I mean, we're talking life, we're talking love, we're talking really where it's at. And that is my great friend Justin and I. We're going to talk about dealing with adversity and living with adversity and current times. So, hey, Justin, thank you for joining us. Where do we kick off?
Well, first and foremost, hello, everyone. Hello, Lauren. Great to see you today. So I would say that one of the things that we have talked about offline that I think is so pertinent right here is the idea that a lot of people fear change, right? Just as a whole. And right now we're at this weird part where there's wars in the world. There seems to be uncertainty with COVID. There's restrictions. There's not. There's just a lot of flux, a lot of weird stuff going on. And so I think we need to talk today about taking advantage of that and not fearing it, not running away from the change, but embracing it and figuring out your place in it. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. So many people are wanting to bury their head in the sand or eat loads of cake or, you know what, run away from this in some way. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't just eat all of that popcorn. But the thing is, I think that the times that we are facing and that we're in, and even the language that we're using there that we're facing, actually, like you said, why not take advantage of this? Why not use this to our opportunity sort of, let's be in a better space because of this. Let's not see this as where we're us and this is a bad time. Actually, this is my time potentially, right?
Exactly. And I mean, I'll give just a couple examples here to help get your mind and everyone's thinking about like possibilities, right? So like in the 1920s, end of the 1920s, there was the Great Depression in the United States. And everyone remembers that it was like this horrible thing. And I'm not saying it was good, but in the recovery of that, more millionaires were made than any other time in history. Okay. And most people overlook that fact. So that's like one piece to like get your aperture open. The second thing is that in the pandemic of 1917, 1918, 1919 of this, the Spanish flu. Okay. During that time, it killed millions and millions of people, but the outcome of that led to modern medicine in a lot of ways. So now we handle all these things in such a more productive way and don't run from them. And we handle it differently in terms of cleanliness, sanitation, all these things that were kind of overlooked before are now embraced. And now our lifespan has gone up dramatically. And so just getting those two different perspectives on these things that like were terrifying to probably go through, but the outcome of those led to so many good things, I think is an important place to start.
Yeah, I mean, literally, what an opportunity for change. And I think you're so correct in the fear of change and the fear of something different. And whether that be in, to all our listeners, dog training, or whether that be in just how you shop and what you do on your day-to-day basis, or whether we look at the bigger picture, like the world, right? Like it's change can be something that really throws us and really makes us want to recoil or sometimes even lash out or maybe act in a slightly odd way. I think change can be something that really tests individuals' flexibility, how adaptable, independent, how confident we are. Change can really throw us in many different directions.
100%. And I think that that's one of the things that separates people that thrive in change and those that don't, is that we all acknowledge that change is happening. First of all, you need to acknowledge that, right? You have to understand that every day something is changing. You wake up, you look a little different, you know, like you have different skin, everything's changing all the time, right? We have to just acknowledge that change is a piece of life. And then we have to kind of think about it from the standpoint of what is our place in that change? How do we take it so that it becomes less scary for us and embrace it? And so like for the dog community here, I mean, I can't imagine in my lifetime a better time to be in the dog business, because during the pandemic, the statistics are crazy. Like, the dog market went up, I think, $25 billion with a B dollars. You know, in pounds, it's what, 18 billion pounds or something. I mean, huge numbers. And the best part about a dog is, just like human beings, their lifespan's going up too, right? Because of people.
And dogs make everybody. You can see I'm over at, we're by the ocean, or the sea, as you would say here. And I was throwing a ball into the water earlier, and I was throwing. I apologize. My alarm is telling me that I should be here. People talk about like mindfulness and being able to sort of switch off from the day and all of those things. And I managed to just throw a ball for 5 minutes in the water, and I'm in a happy space. I watch the happy dog run into the water, grab the ball, have a lovely time, splash about a bit, play with some dog friends. Like, it was just the nicest thing to do for about 5-10 minutes. Like, it was really special. And I think, yeah, what better time to be in the dog world than right now, when whether you work in dogs, so actually there's a real boom in any sort of dog industry because of the numbers, or whether you are a dog owner and you get to really take that moment of nature, presence, mindfulness, taking yourself away from your day-to-day sort of hustle and bustle, a moment of gratitude for just watching a dog. Like, both, it's just great on every level, right?
It's unbelievable on every level. And I think that, you know, especially when you talk about dogs and animals in general, right, they kind of fill that void for a lot of people, right? So like, if you have a long day at work, come home, there's always at least that smiling face or that like panting that you come home to, that run up, it just makes you feel great, right? And imagine taking that and taking that towards change, like embracing that attitude, right?
Being a happy spaniel or a happy Labrador when someone said about change and you were like, yeah, change. I mean, I love change. So let's think. So dealing with adversity, let's start by just, what is adversity, Justin? Like, what is it to you?
Adversity to me is the challenge. And to put it very simply in single word, it would be the challenge, because adversity comes when someone basically either says that's a dumb idea, you can't do it. There's some sort of thing coming at you that says, look, you're not able to deal with this in a certain way. And a lot of the time it starts here in your head, right? There's a voice clicks on that goes, I don't know if I should be doing that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if this is the right time. There's always the I don't knows is kind of the fear of change, right? It's the unknown that sets most people back. And so when we talk about adversity, a lot of the time it has to deal with the fact that you've relegated your brain to telling you it's probably scary, and the fear of the unknown is holding you back in some regard. And so if we look at, you know, both those things, it's a challenge of some kind. And that's how I would summarize adversity. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, a challenge, a stretch, a struggle, dealing with a difficult situation, something that is going to make you grow. Yeah. And if we flip it on its head, an opportunity to grow. Because then as soon as you change the language, then you change your whole way of thinking about that. So if I say, I've got this struggle to sort out, like, that immediately puts me in a bit of a victim space. Whereas actually I get to grow today. Like, I get to grow. I get to work with a completely novel area, something I've never done before. I recently, and I don't mind talking about it, I recently went through a family bereavement, and something I've never experienced before, and probably not the happiest thing to bring up on a podcast, but certainly real and certainly life. And I sat with my nan as she passed. And you know what? I could look at that as something really, like not like adversity, right? Like difficult as hell. And actually, I felt privileged. I felt close. I felt the proximity was right. I was grateful to be there. I was very, very, very relieved that Nan had me. Like, there were so many reasons to be grateful. And as soon as we trade that sort of language or expectation for some level of appreciation and gratitude, it changes the whole perspective of that. And for me, weirdly, in Nan's passing, I didn't feel really even that sad, I actually felt grateful. I know that sounds really odd. I felt grateful and a weird buzz of gratitude rather than in before it happened. I felt completely different and very, very, very different space. And so I think, yeah, adversity, this is bigger than dog training. This is bigger than your job. This is bigger than your day-to-day. This is actually life, right? Like what we're talking about here is life. And I love that dogs bring us here. And actually, wider than that, this is dealing with adversity in life.
In all aspects of your life, right? And that's where it really becomes important. And I think that one of the things to tag on what you were saying there that I think is really cool is that one of my friends had to go to a funeral a few weeks ago. And they didn't call it a funeral. They called it a celebration of life.
Yeah, I like this.
And I love that. And I was like, that is what it should be. Because my grandfather passed away, I think, in 2017 or 2018. And everyone else was bereaving and came in black. And I came in. Yeah, I totally did. I came in proud, tall. And I gave like this great comedic sermon to my grandfather. And it, because that's who he was to me. He was that guy that brought life. He was such just a gregarious, awesome individual and made me feel so special every time I was around. I wanted to remember him that way. And I wanted everyone else to know how special he was to me. And I think that, you know, in adversity, that's just one tiny piece of things that we all go through as human beings. You're all going to experience death at some level at some point. But again, taking that attitude and turning it to be less about being scary or bereavement, but owning the fact that you got to spend time with this individual or et cetera, changes the perspective, which changes the adversity to be something that you can take advantage of, right?
Absolutely. So I think if we were to give people some great sort of tips to dealing with adversity, like that would be a number one start, like change the language and change the perspective a little, but change the language. So I definitely think when we think about dealing with adversity, I'm dealing with something really difficult today. This is going to be tough. This is going to be shocking. I'm going to have a tough day. It's going to be awful. I am not going to enjoy this. Then no, sure you won't. Because as soon as you're looking for all of those things, you will find them. Yeah, you'll find tough and you'll find difficult and you'll find someone you're going to come up across. You're going to find all those things. And so you just made it so, like you will it so. So for me, no, same as with you. I made Nan's celebration of life. We planted a tree. We had all the kids over. Like we had a really good day. And actually change your language. That would be one of my top tips. I'm going to tag you in dealing with adversity, Justin.
Tag. All right. So I would take not only the verbiage, but your body language as well, right? So like a lot of the time when you start dealing with situations, you get tense, right? You start getting that physical relaxation. So I go back to the breath every time. So the minute that I start feeling adversity in somewhere in my body, which I consider that to be a lot of stress usually, right? Yeah. Start with the breath. I do something called the block breathing, which is 4-4-4. But you take four breaths in, you hold it for four, and you exhale for four. And what that does is it calms your limbic system and it gets you to face it differently. So if you, you know, combat it with what you were saying with that, those are kind of the two things that I just, my automatic go-tos every single time. With that, I'm going to pass the ball back over to you and get your thoughts.
Yeah. So I love the idea that we change our movement in some way. So for example, with Granddad and our get together last week, we all made sure that we were moving a lot. We went for a little walk. We planted a little tree. We had the kids playing in the paddock. We had some food. We had some bubbly. We tried to the bubbly helped. We tried to make it a movement-based day, not sitting and hunch. You know what it's like, let's just do it together for a minute. Like we sit there like this, Justin, and your whole world changes, right? Like you go into this versus sit up for a minute and like shoulders back, stick your chest out, you're Lara Croft or you're Superman, and you completely change how you are, right? Like that changes it. Your shoulders are back, your head's up, you're looking around. I mean, God, today's modern day and I'm a nightmare for it, like this all the time. Like it's terrible for us. It's really terrible for us. So yeah, I think we definitely should be using, whether we call it body language or state or whatever we want to call it, then I think those things really help with dealing with adversity, challenge, stretch. Actually, if I've ever got a difficult meeting, or a testing sort of get together. I mean, we, whether it, disciplinary or God, even things like pensions and wills and stuff like that. Like those are all, if I've ever got anything like that, if I can do it moving, I would. So whether that would be like going for a walk or walking on a treadmill or asking the whoever I'm meeting to walk with me, or like if I can try and move, I think movement really, really helps.
100%. And movement is a gigantic piece of that. And especially going outside to do it, like not walking around your office, but like literally walking around the block. If you're in a city, if you're outside, you can go somewhere where it's a little bit more green and beautiful and look at that view like you have. It's incredible. It resets your mind dramatically.
It just takes a different space, isn't it? It takes you, it is a reset. Like it's a master reset.
It's an unbelievable, and it's something that's that simple. And I guess that's part of the point of what we're trying to say today to everyone is that it doesn't have to be complex. You don't have to get on a plane and go to Fiji. You don't have to go to the Maldives. Like you can do these things very simply here, although those are great things to do as well. I'm not going to, you know, say don't do those, but not everyone can. And the other thing I would say that I think is really important that I didn't take advantage of for a huge piece of my life, and that is the fact about being grateful just in general. Right? I take a grateful journal. So anytime that I'm feeling adversity, like for instance, when I first started my company years and years ago, and I've done many since, so many people said, why are you doing that? How can you be doing that now? You've got a great job. What are you doing? And at first it kind of got caught in my head, right? It started thinking like, well, should I be doing this now? And I got nervous. And then I took a step back and said, look, I'm going to be grateful. I'm doing this because, and this is why. And I kept writing it out every day doing that. And then at the end of it, I would tag on why I was grateful to be able to do this, like because of X, Y, and Z, because of X, Y, and Z, because of what, you know, that changed literally everything for me the minute I started doing that. And that to me is one of those things that you can always go back to, even in the darkest of times when everything seems to be piling on you and there's a bunch of crap and you feel like you just got to, you're just digging yourself further into a hole. The minute you stop, take a few breaths and be grateful for something, it changes your perspective in such a way that it can be profound in those moments.
And I think that gratitude really is the attitude. And even in, I mean, lots of our listeners know, I've had a really crazy like couple of years with like Dad's health and Nan and Brave and Everest and just lots of things. And when you take that step back and rather than feeling woe is me or this is like why me, or when you take that step back and you say, actually, I'm grateful for this. And I'm grateful for having my beautiful dogs. I'm grateful for the time that we have with the knowledge with where Dad's health is at. I'm grateful for the fact I was with my Nan. I'm really grateful for the sunshine. Like I said to Nan the day that she passed, I was like, Nan, it's so beautiful. It's so sunny out there. Like it's so sunny. You would love it. You'd hear the birds. And it's just the most beautiful day. It's the most beautiful day. And I'd love to take you outside. And whilst we didn't know when or how, or like you kind of all those things like played a part because it was such a beautiful day. And days like for me, finding little things in nature that you are really grateful for, whether it's a pretty flower, whether it's a bird in the sky, like those things, I think make a big deal make a big deal of those. And actually those are in the big sort of grand scheme of things, actually the things that really count. They are the things that you'll remember and the things that you'll go back to and you'll be like, that was beautiful. I remember last summer I was training a dog at a friend's field. And we were teaching some skills that I wanted to refresh in a new area. So I was effectively proofing my dog training. But they had this wildflower meadow. And it's really weird. It was such a small part of the day, but it's made me think of a wildflower meadow ever since. Like I want one. I really want one. Absolutely. And so it's those little things that you're really grateful for. And then they kind of start a big thing in your head. And I'm like, this is a seed. Like I am literally going to plant many of these seeds. I want one of these wildflower meadows. Like it's those types of things. I think they really make a difference.
100%. And I think that the thing that people forget is that it's so easy to let adversity into your life, right? It's so easy to, and the problem is once you open that door, it seems to act like a flood, right? And you had mentioned it earlier where, you know, if you go looking for it, you're going to find it. Well, that's exactly right.
I've got a really good example of this. A great friend of mine, someone I really admire and really think they are doing a super job. And they're a fairly new friend of mine, but I think she's a really super person, like really super. And you can tell that. Anyway, there's been a, there was an accident locally to us, and it was pretty sad. And it was sad. And basically she was taking it all in. And I said at one point, look, this isn't your journey and it's not yours to take on board. And as much as it is really sad, you can get yourself wrapped up in this sadness so easily. And you open up the gates and all of a sudden, all these people tell you all these sad things. And suddenly you're like under all these sad things and you're like, oh my goodness. And I'm like, right, break out. That is absolutely not your journey. That is absolutely not where you're heading. Like, take a moment, interrupt it. Of course, be sad. Of course, send flowers. Of course, show love and appreciation for these people who are going through a sad time, but it's not yours to bear. And actually, you will find yourself under everyone's if you open those gates, right? Like, you sometimes have to be like, right, let's stop this. And then off we go. Because you can imagine sad movies, bottle of wine. Like, you can see how it happens, right?
Absolutely. Turn on the news. Yeah.
Oh my Lord. Like, let's not even go there. Right. Like no news. Like, we do not have in our house, no news, no newspapers. I really have very little clue as to what's going on some days, but I actually am grateful for that, because those are floodgates that I kind of keep up, that I don't want to be part of that. And I think you're so correct in how much can come at you fast.
100%. And I so here's another example of kind of a weird situation that happened this weekend. Right. So my mom was in town for Easter over here, and everyone was super excited. The kids were having a great time. We took her out, and we took her to this place here called Brazos Bend State Park. That's a huge national park here in Texas, and it's got all this great wildlife in it. Well, we walk in and we start going through the swamp area, and we found these birds that we'd never seen before called spoonbills. And they're these, like, they look like flamingos. They're super pink, but they've got like a spoon in the front of their bill. Anyways, they're really cool and exotic, and I've never seen them before. I've lived here 8 years. And then we're on our way back and everyone else is tired, right? And so I had a choice to either keep going or go with them. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go my own way for a little bit. So they went back and they went into the car and stuff like that. So I took another 20 minutes. And on that walk, I found an armadillo for the first time in my entire life. It's a nocturnal animal. I've got a video of it, everything. And it's the cool, I should send it to you actually. I saw a real armadillo for the first time in my entire life. And you want to talk about a magic moment. It was one of those things, like, taking that extra effort, knowing that I could do more, and going out and doing that proved and paid dividends. And so, I don't know, it's kind of a beautiful example and one of those things that, like, changed my mood for the entire day. I was already in a great place, but that was like a magical moment to me.
Yeah. And one of those moments that lasts a lifetime, right? Like, it lasts. Exactly.
And it's things like that that help when I get to an adversity moment in my life, right? So, like, for instance, I will tell you one this morning. I didn't set my alarm this morning because I didn't have to do anything really until about 9 a.m. And although I usually get up at 5 a.m., I was like, I'm exhausted. I've had a really busy last couple of weeks. I'm going to sleep in a little bit. I did not want to get up at 6 a.m. Okay. I did not. That was a huge adversity for me. I was like, I don't want to do it. But then the drive in me said, look, you got all these opportunities. And so I, instead of looking at it as a challenge or as something that was going to mess up my day, I said, look, I have all these things that I have an opportunity to do. I get to do today. Go take advantage of it. And I got out of bed and I haven't regretted it since.
You know what? I had a day like that the other day. And again, looking at dealing with adversity versus setting yourself up for an amazing rock star day. And very similar. I got up super early. I went horse riding with Eliza. We were up before sunrise. We watched the sunrise on horses. We rode, and then we did a little Easter egg hunt with family, and we found Easter bunny. I kissed him. He wasn't as impressed. We found Easter lambs. We then went to a competition. I did really well at the competition. I'd had breakfast with family before I left. I came back again. We had a great time in the evening. It was just one of those days that we managed to pack in so much. But all of those memories, when you're dealing with adversity, those are the places you go. So when I was sat with my nan, I was envisioning all of the good stuff. I wasn't sat there reminiscing and feeling terrible about things. I was actually going through all of the good stuff. And those are the things that keep you really, really strong, because you've got all of that good bank. So I think that would be my next sort of tip, I suppose, with dealing with adversity, would be create the good bank, like, have the good bank and hold on to that good bank. So for me, the sunrises, the sunsets. I recently went to, I think I sent you a picture, didn't I? I'm sure I did. Did I send you? If not, Stone Circle. We were in the Stone Circle.
That was amazing.
And we watched the sun. And that's another one. You know what? My dad said, so I dragged them all out. And my dad said, as we were going there, can I just go for the roast dinner bit? I don't really fancy the next bit. And I was like, so roast dinner's a very, very traditional Sunday thing here. And so we were like, yeah, I was like, yeah, we can go for the roast dinner. And then we're going for the stone circle. And he was like, I'll just have the roast dinner. Anyway, my dad, obviously, he's bone cancer and lung cancer. So there's me dragging him over like massive hills and moorland. And he's got sore legs. And I'm like, come on, Dad, we can do this. And so I'm taking him up and around. And we couldn't see it. And the sun's going down. And we couldn't find it. And we couldn't find it. We couldn't find it. We've got our sat navs on. And we're literally looking. And we're in the middle of the moorland. And this is called Score Hill. And we're literally like, right, we cannot find it. And we're looking everywhere. Like we are literally, we can't find it. Anyway, we go over the top of a hill and Eliza's like, we found it. And I'm with a few friends as well. And we're like, whoa, everybody heads down to this stone circle. And everyone's just quiet. Like it's like the most beautiful, beautiful, strange experience. Like really, really beautiful. And there you are. And so on the way back, Dad was just like, my God, it was magical. Like it was magical. If I was to ask him which he enjoyed more or which he would remember more, well, they were both absolutely fantastic, the roast dinner and Score Hill, but together, what a team. And so those are the moments you remember. Those are the things, but sometimes they're difficult to get there, right? Like that, there was adversity even getting there. And yet those are the memories that really last.
100%. And so I guess, you know, to piggyback on what you're saying, I would say kind of my final point there is, save all those good memories. So don't just keep the bank in your brain, right? Write them down. I actually do videos of them too. So like, I mean, I've got a whole list of things that I do all these things, but basically make it really accessible for you so that when you're in those dark places, like if you get a good email, create a whole like subcategory of great emails. And even if it's just, hey, it was great to see you today. Something so simple will change your mood always. So make sure that
for me, sort of some of my photos that are in my like favorites.
Yes.
Take me immediately to my favorite sort of times or moments with Eliza, moments with, here's my Easter bunny moment. This is me finding the bunny with my family. And oh my God, that lamb, my little lamb I found as well. He was cute, wasn't he?
I wanted him, yeah.
That was a cute lamb. But these are some of my absolute sort of favorite moments, like literally favorite moments. And to be able to have those on a folder that you just literally go there and it takes you to your happy space. When you're dealing with adversity, having quick access to brilliant mood boosters can really change the space you're in.
You know, and the crazy part is it will work every time. And the reason for that is because it will transport you exactly what you said there to that place, that moment in time, so that you're out of your head again and you're back in that space and it frees you. It's crazy how it works. And again, is it hard sometimes? Yes. Like, I mean, the part of being in adversity is that it's an adversity. It's a challenge, right? It's something that's not always easy. However, if you have these tools that we've talked about today and you go back to them over and over again, it goes back to everything else that we've talked about too. It's about conditioning, right? The first couple of times you're going to go, okay, that wasn't so easy. But you know, five or six in, you're going to go, I get it now. It works and you keep doing it and building it. And then adversity becomes less of a true adversity and more of an opportunity, which is what you want at the end of the day anyway.
For me, and I'm sure for you, it is an opportunity because people constantly come up to us and are like, oh my God, you guys are so cool at this. Like you rock at this. Like you are my inspiration. And I can't get over. I posted a picture of, I have talked a couple of times about my new horse, which I'm kind of in love with. And Matt is going to have to just step aside, really. I have a new man in my life. His name is Cove. His name is actually Hope Cove. And I mean, God, having a name like Hope Cove, I mean, that is like some sort of, anyway. So when, so there you go. So anyway, where was I with him? I was going to talk about, I've posted him on my Facebook page. And just really share. I think Facebook pages should be used for sharing good stuff. Like that's what I do. I share positive. I share good. I share stuff that I think is poignant or meaningful or, to be honest, fun and happy. And so anyway, I've shared him. And so many people have said, oh, my goodness, I wish I could get back to riding. Or, oh, you've inspired me to get back on a horse. Or you've made me rethink getting a horse again. Or I've started my lessons again. Or before I saw your pictures, I had a bit of an upset time about horses, but I really can't wait to get back into the groove. And so I love how sharing that positivity and sharing that mindset and sharing that different way of dealing with adversity actually has a really cool ripple effect on the rest of the world. And you don't realize that until you actually sort of see people commenting. I'm going to see if I can find a couple, like on a day-to-day basis, like that's amazing. Like that's amazing. When you share good stuff, then basically good stuff comes back in like tenfold. So here you go. Rebecca says, all of your horse posts have inspired me to get back to them. I used to ride my own horses, but just lost touch with it after I said goodbye to them. I felt a little bit of me had been missing. So now, thanks to you, I've booked myself in for some weekly lessons. I have a fun ride planned with a friend in a couple of weeks. And I've also found this cool dude to hang out with. Thank you, Lauren. And then someone else saying, same here. Haven't had any lessons and now thoroughly learning something new and so inspired by our beautiful girls. And then someone else saying, which is Eliza and her daughter, someone else saying, this is really tempting me to get another horse. Like, how cool is this, that this has a ripple effect and this has an impact? Like, this has impact. When you deal with adversity in a fun, cool, adaptable, forward-thinking way, other people see that as an opportunity for them to do the same.
Again, it's contagious. And to not only does it have a ripple effect, it permeates that barrier of adversity, right? It creates that opportunity for to building a community, right? People start coming together and really embracing that, which is huge. And again, all these things are small that we've talked about today, right? There's nothing in there that is like, you have to climb this mountain to get over this ridge to see this waterfall. No. It's little small actions can have a huge impact to help you get over anything that you're going through.
Like massive. And all of those things, like they bank up so well, right?
Not only they bank up well, look it up. I mean, they get you excited, right? It changes that, you know, we talked about that state or feeling or whatever you want to call it. You get in a different mindset immediately and you get excited and you start like reminiscing and you don't want to stop. You can talk for 6 hours and just keep going. And
buzz, by the end of the morning, buzz.
Yeah. What the heck just happened? You know, 5 hours passes and you're going, wow, that was awesome.
If you think about it, so we put our devices on charge, we put our house has like charge, right? There's electric and this is us charging. Like this is our opportunity to charge, right? So I think my final point on dealing with adversity is make sure you charge yourself. Make sure you're getting your charge, whether your charge is heading to the ocean. Oh my goodness. Or whether your charge is getting on a horse or training your dog or going to a competition or enjoying a moment in nature. And I think this is where it is really important. You touched on it a minute ago, and I think it's really important that we touch on it once more. It doesn't have to take a long time. It doesn't have to be fly to Fiji. It doesn't have to be spend like, so you might say, I don't know, one of the things I love to do is like spend a moment putting something on like moisturizer or like a mini facial or something like that. But people will be like, oh, I can't afford a facial or I couldn't go to the place or I haven't got time to book in. Do your own. Spend 5 minutes just doing something that makes you feel good. Or it could be something as simple as one of my own little like TLC top me ups is sit and just drink a whole bottle of water. I just sit and I will not move until I've drank that water bottle. And I'm like, I shall ground myself for a minute and just top myself up. Like that is your charge. And your charge could cost you nothing and take 2 minutes, 30 seconds, 10 seconds. Or your charge could be jump on a plane to Fiji, but it doesn't have to be that way, right?
100%. I think that, again, it's the simplicity of things makes it attainable and it makes it real and easy, right? It's when anything, I've told you this forever. Like I like things simple in my life, right? And when it starts getting complex, I take a pause and I'm like, there's something wrong here because nothing, like when I listened, we joked earlier about the news, right? Anytime you get the news, it's always this huge person bloviating and it's something complex. It's not complex. We're making it complex. Anytime you hear that, take a pause. There's a flag on the field and you know, there's a red card out there. Pull yourself out of it and go look at some of these things and do some of these activities you talked about.
That is what it's all about. And I think ultimately the thing I'm going to leave us on here for me is do the things you love, because in adversity, when you've done the things you love, you always have those to rely on to kind of top you back up again. So for me, doing all the things you love, just enjoy them. Don't ask so much permission. Have a good time enjoying all the things that you actually want to do. And don't feel guilty for those. Like I think do the things you love.
100%. I think it's beautiful. I don't even want to add to that, except I just want to reiterate a point you made there that I think is absolutely important that we definitely don't do enough of. Don't ask permission. Like, just
ask.
Don't. Yeah, get don't.
Enjoy the dog. Go to the training class. Get the badge. Train the dog. Like, whatever it might be. Go to the beach. Whatever it might be. Don't ask permission. Just enjoy it.
Exactly. 100%. Well, Lauren, I got to say thank you so much. Thanks to your audience. I had a great time today.
I literally love that you come and you join us and we get to share just our chats really with so many people. That was this episode of the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast. We literally have loved spending time with you and I cannot wait, Justin, to do this again.
Well, don't worry, there will be more.
Stop right there, Game Changer. We have something very exciting to tell you about if you struggle with stressful walks right now.
So pulling your dog, yanking your arm out of its socket, just basically it's painful, right?
Now, it's a struggle that you want to transform. You want to go from pulling on lead like a train to loose leash walking prince or princess, and we've got a solution for you.
It is just £27. It's a mini course that literally is going to be your zero to hero of loose leash walking.
Day by day, we're going to be showing you the games and skills and strategies that you are going to need to implement to transform your dog's leash behavior in the next 2 weeks.
This is a complete package. You get to keep it for life. Yes, for life. And it's just £27 to you.
Access it anywhere. Keep it for life. No equipment required. And all you've got to do is go to absolutedogs.me/stop pulling. And yes, it is just £27, Game Changers.